Wade Rathke. I'm chief organizer of Local 100 United Labor Unions, headquartered in New Orleans.
See, I always hate asking that question because your voice has suddenly gotten so formal now. But anyway, yeah, the story, yeah, it's about talking with different union groups across the states, Louisiana, Mississippi, to put this Bessemer vote into context. So, for one, just kind of looking at this last decade, how has union organizing in Louisiana gone?
Well, we work in Arkansas, Texas, and Louisiana, and let me tell you the truth. It's been very difficult. We had first the Great Recession a little more than a decade ago, and now we have the pandemic depression. You can imagine what it's like to organize people at work sites when you can't really talk to them, you can't visit with them in their home. We, for example, represent a number of nursing homes in North Louisiana and Central Louisiana, and those have been flashpoints of real concern for our workers as well as the clients that they serve. So it's been wild. We've adapted as best we can, but it's been a struggle.
One thing I've been wondering about, I heard someone else bring up this idea of one potential boon for labor organizing when it comes to COVID is that, like you were talking about before, hey, I'm essential. What may have been unfortunately described as kind of like disposable labor, low-skilled labor, now is being described as essential labor, and how that might influence how people perceive their value and whether they should be getting more benefits or support. Have you seen any effect like that, or is that kind of overinflating things?
Absolutely. We jumped on this pandemic like a dog on a bone. I mean, we represent nursing home workers, care workers for the differently abled, garbage workers, public employees in Arkansas, school employees. We were able to get pandemic bonuses and in some cases wage increases. You can imagine what it's like to keep a certified nurse's assistant in a nursing home now when people are, I hate to say it, dying like flies. I mean, we were able for a long time to get significant increases, not from all companies, but in many of them. And, you know, once you get a wage increase, and you probably know this as well, it's hard to take people back down again. So we're very hopeful and we're excited about what may come in the stimulus money as well.
Now, that sounds like unions that were kind of already established. Is that correct? Or have you had any success in using that to help form new unions?
We've definitely seen our membership increase. I mean, there are many work sites that, for example, school workers and workers in Arkansas that are state employees that don't have a law, so don't have a collective bargaining agreement. And there we've seen good, healthy growth in our signups and enrollments. We're all in, in the South, we're all right to work. So it's push and shove. Somebody can come in today, leave tomorrow. So this has been a boon for us in terms, not a boon, that's the wrong word, but we've definitely tried to make the most of this very terrible, difficult situation.
Okay, so you're getting more people signing up to be members, particularly among public workers, sounds like.
Exactly, and our private sector workers, particularly in our nursing homes and our healthcare facilities, the percentages have gone way up. The difficulty of new sites has been people are just desperate to hold on to jobs, and there's still, as you see in the Amazon fight in Bessemer, a lot of employer resistance.
So, having someone who's worked in the South for many years as far as with union organizing, what lessons from experiences with union organizing in Louisiana do you think you could, or what context from what you've learned over these years, for those of us that have not been involved, that we can first better understand what's going on in Alabama?
I think the important thing that's exciting about the Alabama organizing drive, and this was also true in some of the drives that the United Automobile Workers ran in Tennessee and elsewhere, these are some new and innovative strategies that people are trying. And the fact that they're establishing that the workers, there's heat, there's real traction. You just have to be willing to go out and talk to people, and there's still a huge fire about organizing. I also have to say that the expression of solidarity from the President of the United States makes a huge difference. Believe me, we're putting that on our flyers and website as well. I mean, it's reminiscent of the old John Lewis, CIO, United Mine Workers, when FDR, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, was elected, and all throughout the mining fields, he put his organizers saying, "The president wants you to join the union." Well, this is a I've been organizing a long time. This is the first time we've ever been able to say, "The president wants you to join the union." So, people start organizing, we're going to see something happen.
So you're saying some innovative strategies. What do you mean by that?
Over the last couple of years, you saw what I call people trying to practice majority unionism, being willing to sign people up, have them join the union even before they filed for an election. And that's what the strategy and the auto plant effort, I mean, it ended up that the UAW a couple of years ago filed for an election in a smaller unit, but for a while they were trying to basically get a majority the long way. And I think that's partially what you see as you read about things like Google workers organizing and even this Amazon thing. Look, it's hard to organize a unit of 6,000 people. The odds of the retail workers winning this election are poor, but they're obviously willing to take the risk to build the unit, to keep it close. Amazon has been notoriously anti-union. So to see them go after this jurisdiction and warehouses, very important.
So that's one thing I want to touch on. It sounds like you're putting a little cold water on this, because there's this sense from a lot of people like you got the president showing support, even if he's not saying Amazon, even if he's not saying vote yes. You got all the congressional delegation visited just last week. You have all these big names in support. Yet you're saying, the odds are still pretty low.
I have to believe that RWDSU probably filed over 30%, which is the minimum. But normally, to have a good shot in an NLRB election, you need to file somewhere over 60, 65% to hold on to winning 50% plus one. So I don't know this, but I'm betting that RWDSU sees this as a beachhead for future organizing of Amazon warehouse workers, not only in Bessemer, but elsewhere around the country. They have a national jurisdiction in this area. But it'd be one of the wonderful things of this year to see the union win. But my point is, win or lose, this is going to invigorate the labor movement and labor unions to do more organizing throughout the South.
Okay, so sell me on that one, because I've heard plenty of that argument, and it makes sense to me, the idea that if union wins here, that could spark a whole big union movement across Amazon, across the South, across different sectors. That makes sense. But that other argument that even if they lose, I mean, is the opposite true? If they lose, does that set things back? Because it sounds like you're saying the opposite, that even if they lose, that there's still ground to be gained.
Because I don't think working people really expect the union to win. Here's what's a key thing, Stephen, that's worth remembering. People need to understand that African American and Latino workers are the working class in the South. And increasingly, they're the working class everywhere. So the stereotypical image of some hard hat, in New York City or Chicago, that's just not the labor movement anymore. I mean, we represent service workers. Virtually all of our members in all three states are African American or Latino. So this is going to be something where you see leadership and organizing, and everything I've seen on the Amazon Drive is African American, Latino workers in the front trying to move this thing. And that's the vast majority of workers in Bessemer. The lead organizer I had in New Orleans for 20 years is from Bessemer. So I know a little bit about it. She still has family there, It's old steel workers' territory. These are union families. So I think having these workers go up after Amazon, win or lose, is going to really put some backbone in a lot of different folks saying, if they can do it there, God, I've got a better shot where I'm working. This is something that is going to move working class folks to want to organize, I believe. But you know what? I hope so.
Yeah. I was going to say, you have a little bit of an interest in this.
Hey, you know, look, I've done this so many years. I'm just waiting for the movement. We're always going to be ready.
You know, you mentioned how heavily Black Bessemer is, and I was speaking with workers at Nissan who were involved with in Mississippi, Canton, Mississippi, and they said one thing that was a big issue there was the workforce was split.
Exactly.
And I've heard that constantly, the idea like that's what employers would do, the split on race. With Bessemer, is it that Bessemer is so black that it's hard to make that split? Because, like, hey, I mean, there's not that many white workers there? Or is that like, no, there's still a concern, that's still a worrisome tactic?
It's always worrisome because I don't know the numbers on management there. I think the basic campaign almost any company runs, and Amazon has obviously got a lot of people being paid a lot of money to fight the union here, is to go with the devil you know and not the devil, you know, not the devil you fear. And they want to create an image that the union could mean the end of their jobs. I mean, Amazon's been very creative. I have never seen, I've done a million campaigns, I've never seen a company offer $2,000 to $3,000 for somebody to retire in order to shrink a bargaining unit. That's just amazing. And I will, if the union doesn't win, you're going to see objections to this election, and you're going to see a rerun. And that's why I think win, lose, or draw, this is not going to be over soon. If the kinds of tactics that Amazon has used almost invariably would win a new election from the NLRB. So this is going to be one where they keep coming back. At least that'd be my bet. But I don't know.
Now, one thing I'm curious about is we talked about size before, how big this facility is. And looking through some of the data on union victories in these three states, many of them tend to be, I don't want to say small, but like, maybe a couple of dozen people at a workplace, maybe a workplace of like 100 would be considered a lot. Is that something you've noticed, like, hey, maybe you could kind of claw a few victories in some smaller workplace when it comes to private workers, but these bigger whales are much harder to take down and like almost impossible?
Well, I think that's why unions, and I would believe RWDSU is of this thought as well, that you're making a long-term investment, not a short-term one, in terms of organizing an Amazon warehouse. And it's not going to be just this year to this election. It's going to be somewhat similar to what you saw in Canton or what you saw in Chattanooga from the UAW. It's going to be an effort that they keep trying to go back until they win. Look, for the average NLRB election for many years now has been less than 40 people in an election, and it's gone down steadily. So it used to be, if we were talking 30 or 40 years ago and I started organizing unions, you had somewhere around 10 to 15 units of over 500 being waged at an election from the NLRB. You just, some.
Translate this, because you're talking 10, 15 units, I mean.
Units of over 500 workers.
Okay, can you put that into hard numbers for me? Just because I'm going to play that, I would play that clip, and then I'd be losing people on the radio as they start doing math.
Exactly, no problem, Stephen. So we're lucky these days to have 50,000 workers certified annually in the NLRB. 30, 40 years ago, you routinely had 150 to 200,000 workers who successfully were certified in elections. And of those hundreds of thousands of workers that were certified, you'd have some large units. That just has not been the case recently. One of the things, whether it's in the South or anywhere else in the country, is the unit size of elections has gone drastically down. So it's been 35, 40 as an average nationally.
Okay, so you're saying that where you're winning, it's just happening, it's just much smaller groups, 30, 40 people. You're not getting like the old victories where you have 50,000, well, not 50,000, have 7,000 people.
Stephen, it takes between $1,500 and $2,000 a worker to organize in an LRB election. So a lot of unions no longer have the capacity to organize units as big as this Bessemer facility. This will be an organizing drive that'll cost RWDSU more than $1 million, I would bet, because you have to have a lot of organizers, a lot of communications. You have to be able to pick up people who are threatened and fired. Their strategy has been very old school, having people out in the driveway handing out flyers. That's a strategy that really hasn't been common since the 50s and 60s. I've never run an organizing drive where you had people handing out flyers as people drove in. That's because, but what it does do, and if it works, is it has put workers out front. We'll see what happens. But that's also an indication that the organizing committee inside the plant may not be as strong as you would normally want it in a big drive.
So help me understand. It's like $15,000 or so per
1500.
1500. Okay, that seems a little more reasonable.
Yeah, 1500 to 2000. 10 years ago, you could probably organize a unit for 1,000 a member. This is not what a smaller local like ours, can spend. But if you're talking about Service Employees International Union or RWDSU or UAW, that's what they have to pretty much be prepared to spend in order to go after these big units.
It's yeah, it's spend out when it sounds like your chances of succeeding are probably less than a coin flip.
It's difficult.
Help me understand why that price has jumped so much.
The cost of communications in very hard-fought employer boss campaigns are very difficult. And these organizing drives in places like Tennessee and Mississippi and Alabama are a long way from the headquarters of the unions that are running the drive. So that means parachuting more organizers and activists in, putting them up in hotel rooms, having to rent cars. You got phones, you got computers, you got the interweb. I mean, it's like, and then that doesn't even count all the swag. You got t-shirts, you got jackets, you got buttons, you've got a leaflet program, you've got Facebook ads. Oh my God, when does it end? I mean, so these. The one of the huge issues for labor unions right now is that density is now on the private sector, only about 7% of private sector workers are in unions. And that means you don't have the dues to spend millions of dollars necessarily to organize big units. So to see them roll the dice and go after Amazon, there's almost no major company that's been built in the US over the last 30, 35 years that is union. All the tech companies are non-union. Amazon's non-union. Walmart's non-union. I could go through the list. But so this is a real, this is important to see this kind of an organizing drive. As I say, win, lose, or draw.
Yeah. And as you say, with all that stuff and spending $1,500 per worker, even then you're still not going to be able to match Amazon's ability to spend.
Not whatsoever. I mean, what we'll see in terms of what they'll pay, Shafer Shah, whoever the anti-union firm they've had. I mean, they tried to delay the election. They don't want a mail ballot. And I actually, a mail ballot election is better for unions. I mean, they're too up, manual is you show up and you have to vote. Well, no matter how secret the ballot is, management sees who's voting, who's not voting. Mail ballot is an easier way for you to turn out your activist in a union organizing drive. So our union has never lost a mail ballot. I mean, we've lost some manual ballots, but we've never lost a mail ballot. So I thought that was very important that they hung on till they got a decision from the regional director allowing that. In the pandemic, you didn't have a choice.
One thing out of curiosity that I didn't know, when it comes to these votes, Is it 50% of the 50% plus one of the people voting, or 50% plus one votes of the population? Like, if you.
That's a very important question, and it's good that you ask so that you'll be, you know, empowered in the future. But it's 50% plus one of those who vote.
Of those who vote, okay.
So
it's good to know.
If only of the 6,000 workers, if only 2,000 vote and 1,001 vote for the union, boom, you're certified.
All right. Well, you know, this everything I've asked about has been really helpful. Is there anything you would like to say before we call it a wrap?
Glad to see y'all on the story, as I told you earlier. I think it's important to see, for y'all to keep looking after what workers are doing in the South. I mean, there's some interesting drives in Atlanta that I'm familiar with, in New Orleans and other places. So this is a story that often doesn't get attention until it breaks out and there's something like the Amazon thing. But I think you're going to see people moving, and the Biden endorsement of what is in the law, the National Labor Relations Act, that this is public policy to have collective bargaining. Important reminder, and very important if workers pick up the banner. Cross my fingers.